Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at xorsonx. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at purerockfury. And we're here with Damian. You can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find us on Instagram at /reviewandroast/thecomicroast/StarWarsTabletop. Pretty much you can just Google Review and Roast and you'll see everything we got to offer for your face and your ears. So, our number one for today is Brian's pick of Dark Souls, Tales of Ember. We're actually going to do a shorter episode, so we're going to skip right through Over Under to, get this done as quick as possible, because we kind of got some family stuff going today and whatnot. Plus, with Easter next week, we won't be recording, so we'll be taking that off as well. But other than that, that's all I got, right? So we're ready to talk about stuff.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, just real quick. It's not definitive yet, but it's like 98% definitive. That when we come back on the 24th, we may have two, but we'll definitely have a number one from Action Lab Comics called Spencer and Locke. It's a detective noir story, and there's an imaginary talking panther involved. Pretty stoked. They contacted us and asked if we were interested in reviewing it, so we'll be doing that on the 24th, unless we don't get it in time. So get pumped. It comes out this Wednesday, so hopefully we'll have it in time.
So therefore, everyone else can also get it in time.
Yeah.
And then they can know what we're talking about when we're talking about it.
It'll be in your local comic book stores on the 15th, and we'll be getting the digital copy from them shortly, hopefully. So as soon as that shows up, we'll be talking about it. And hopefully you'll have read it, and then you'll tell us, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and I'll cry, and then we'll stop doing the show.
There you go.
So we may have two number ones to make up for the short episode and missed week next week. So there you go.
Sweet. Stuff. Nailed it. And nailed it.
I like free stuff.
I love free stuff. But I feel like last week I was, a little dark. Not dark so much, but just a little blah because, I got rear-ended and fucking blah blah snorbity. And a lot of that carried over to this week. So I'm going to try and focus on the positives, which would be we got a lot of new games to the table this week, and they were all pretty easy to learn, and they were all very much worth the time. The first one that I can think of we got to the table was Orleans, and we recorded a podcast on it. It will be coming out in a couple of days, so you can get more on that. But that game was super fun, probably one of my new favorites. But yesterday, we broke out Planetarium, which I didn't even know existed until Mike walked in with the box. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed with that game. Like, four planets on the board, and you can move it one. Like, you don't control any one planet. You just, every turn, you get to move either one planet or one piece of matter that's floating around in space. And you build these weird alien structures and upgrade your planets. I don't know. It's super simple, but super strategic. And the game's chock full of dick moves. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. And he said it was like, what, $25, $30? Like, dude, yeah, all day.
Kickstarter thing.
Everybody should be adding that one to their...
It's basically like a modified Chinese checkers with a secret liberal agenda.
I love it.
All the cards have like different evolution scenarios, and they seem to be kind of like hinting, like, "Hey, climate change, take this seriously, or your planet's going to start on fire."
Well, there's neat too, because every card has, some kind of an upgrade for the planet, and it's all real. So there's little snippets on the card. The card doesn't tell you, okay, this is what happens when you play the card. It just gives you a little short little factoid about that type of scenario or that type of an event, which is super kind of interesting because you get to play a game and learn all at the same time.
That's exciting. Who published that? Do you know?
Game something?
Yeah, it was just, I never heard of them before. It was just, it must be, I don't know if it's their first game or
I'm
not,
helpful.
But yeah, right. Just
I'm sure they got it down in my shop. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's super, super simple to pick up, and I mean, it's, I don't know what the age range is on it, but I can't imagine a child not being able to pick it up pretty easily. I mean, it's super, the mechanics are pretty simplistic, but the game is actually super fun, so another very high rate. And we finally got Giza to the table, which made me want to flip the table at times. But, you know, I mean, if a game doesn't get the blood going, I mean, what's the point of playing it, right?
Giza as in Pyramid of?
As incorrect. You actually have to move the pieces of the pyramid down, like, the track in order to get them in place and then lift them into and build an actual pyramid on the board. It's kind of neat.
That is cool.
I liked it.
I think Mike won. I don't remember what the hell happened, but I know that there was a lot of times that I feel I got screwed. Just like playing 5-player Ticket to Ride, but I still got all my routes done, so I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Man, we did a lot of gaming this week.
A little bit.
And it ain't over.
Hopefully.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just super bummed about music lately.
Why is that?
Well, for starters, I went to Best Buy today because I was going to buy Rogue One. They don't have any, like, fancy, super special edition one on sale anymore. So it's just the regular Blu-ray, and it's $25. I'm like, I ain't paying $25 for this thing. But I was just like, oh, I'll peruse the CD section just for the hell of it. And it is about the size of a small garbage can now. They have pared it down to almost nothing, and it's super frustrating because when I think of buying a digital download of an album, it's like usually $10 or $12 for the download, and I'm like, I'm paying $12 for air, basically. It's super annoying to me, and I think like a digital album should be like $6.
That's kind of what I paid. Depending on the album, of course. But I always will opt for the CD.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you go on iTunes and download an album, it's like
$10. Oh, yeah, on iTunes, yeah. I'm not talking about
Amazon
iTunes.
Even.
I don't know. Well, for instance, that Tatron CD, I got straight from them off Bandcamp or whatever for $6.
Well, I mean,
the CD's not here yet, and it's been 2 weeks. But, hey, I'm still hopeful.
There's that. But I'm just, I don't know. And then I got the new Pornographers album, and I haven't really given it a fair listen yet, but I was listening to it on the way to work Friday, and I'm like, it's all right. And then the new Mastodon record, which I had tepid excitement for, because the last two records are not, like, my favorite, and this one's not my favorite either. So I'm just like, I think I've reached a point now where it's like, if Mastodon's putting on a new album, I need to hear it first. Because the best songs on this album are basically just rehashed riffs from older albums. So, it's okay. I probably, you know, white people problems, but still.
I don't know.
I'm just like,
I still actually barely heard the new Mastodon. I am too poor to buy it because of my stupid car.
You don't need to get it.
I did pre-order the Royal Thunder, which came out 2 days ago, which I didn't get 2 days ago, but I did get the email for the digital download after I had already left work and didn't even realize. So I still haven't been able to listen to that, which kind of sucks. But I did waste my money on the pre-order for the new Scale of the Summit, because who doesn't need a picture disc when you don't have a working record player?
There you go. It's a fair point.
I mean, it looks badass, you know what I mean? And I've listened to almost every record they have available, and I've never been disappointed by their music. So I feel like it was a good $50 investment for the CD and the picture disc and the shirt. It's a lot of goods for $50.
It's a lot of goods.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever purchased an album on iTunes. I don't think I ever will.
I wouldn't even know how to do it.
If I'm gonna buy a digital copy of an album, I don't want MP3s. I want the CD quality audio. I'm sorry. And iTunes does not do that.
I didn't realize that's what iTunes had going on.
Yeah, they just sell MP3s.
Mm. Rad.
I've bought stuff from them before. Like, if I absolutely cannot find it anywhere, or somebody gives me a gift card, I'm not going to not use it. But I don't love it.
Right.
Yeah. I have not bought, I don't know if I bought digital anything in a very long time. I bought a bunch of vinyl at my store. They had a bunch of soundtracks on sales. So I got a soundtrack to Valhalla Rising the other day, which is awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but...
Never even heard of it.
It's one of those Nicholas Winding Refn movies, the guy did Drive and all that stuff. It's a movie he did before Drive with Mads Mikkelsen or whatever his name is. The guy who plays Urso or what the father in Rogue One. He was Hannibal on the TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like one of the bad guys in the James Bond movies. He plays a Viking called One Eye because he's going at One Eye. And his other eye is not a patch. It's just this, like, gnarly thing of skin and flesh to the whole movie. I would recommend it, but I warn you, it's a very slow movie. It's, like, glacial paced. But the music's this awesome, huge, dark, kind of almost ambient, kind of scary soundtrack. And it's insanely violent. You get to watch someone have their just guts cut open the very first minute, and then they have a conversation while this guy's sitting there, like, kind of holding his intestines. It's fantastic.
I think I put it on my list of movies I wanted to see. I just never have seen it yet.
Yeah, you got to be down to, like, pay attention and sit there and be cool to, like, not really have a ton happen in 2 hours. But it's beautiful and it's crazy, and I think it's really lovely, but it's also insanely violent.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Cannibal Holocaust, so...
There you go. I'd say more happens in this than probably Cannibal Holocaust, but...
No. I just remember after Cannibal Holocaust, I just felt really weird about life. Wow. Like, shower's not going to get rid of that.
No. That's what they made lobotomies for. The other thing that happened this week for me is that my video store finally closed, for real.
Ooh.
And they had their sale, and my wife and I were... like having breakfast together. I was like, hey, the video store opens in like 20 minutes and it's the first day of their sale. You want to go? Like, sure. So we got there. We were like the third person there. Walked in and they actually had boxes for you if you wanted one. So we're like, ah, screw it. So we got a box. So we filled up boxes. And before I knew it, we walked out. There were like $130 in DVDs and Blu-rays. But
that's great.
But yeah, it was also happened to be the day I got paid. So I was just like, I don't care. It's fine. but I got, like, you know, Blu-rays of as many of the Marvel movies as I could have, because I never actually, I think the only ones I owned were like the first Iron Man, so I think I have all of the Marvel movies now, either on DVD or Blu-ray, from Iron Man up to Doctor Strange. There's a couple missing in there, but because they were selling their DVDs for $5 and their Blu-rays for $8. Let's say about Dread on Blu-ray,
the newer one.
The newest Dread, yeah.
I kind of like that movie.
I liked it too. That year it was Beast of the Southern Wild and Dread were my two favorite movies of that year.
Yeah, like I didn't have high expectations for it, but I actually really liked that movie. It was pretty violent.
Yeah, it's essentially that movie, The Raid. Have you ever seen that? I think it's Indonesian or whatever.
No,
it's like it's a police siege movie where these cops get stuck in a building and have to fight their way out. It's fucking great. some of the best craziest, like, kung fu deaths are in that movie. Ah, so good. You should definitely watch The Raid.
I did want to see that. It's one of those movies like I meant to make a note of, and I probably did, but it's like fallen way down the list because I'm dumb.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, I like kung fu deaths.
Yeah, The Raid and The Raid 2 are fantastic, like absolutely wonderful action movies. And The Dread is very similar to that. I mean, obviously, Judge Dredd's not a kung fu guy. I mean, he's more of just a unstoppable snarl machine. But
yeah,
but I love that Dredd movie. I was like, I hope they make one of these a year forever. Like the bottom half of Carlton's face was fantastic in that movie.
Was this the video store that had all the noir movies?
Yeah, they did. So what they're doing, like, some weird. They're trying to become an online thing. Because they have license to stream movies now, and they have license to stream lots of movies that Netflix and Hulu and Amazon don't.
The video store? Really,
yeah, this video store. I think they started up something like a few years ago when they kind of saw this coming, where apparently they had gone and purchased tons of licensing for movies that people are not bothering to pay for, like weird old noir movies and musicals and just things that can't really exist. or not that can't exist, but just don't exist online. They're like, Netflix isn't clamoring to buy all the Doris Day musicals, you know. Right. So they did that. So they bought the licensing for all these things, and they have the ability to stream these now through some other kind of, I think it's like a conglomerate of maybe some stores got together and decided to do this. So they actually, they have, but the thing is they have to keep the physical copies of these things for some reason. I think it's like a backup storage kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they're starting something where you'll be able to essentially find anything online. Like if whatever Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and whatever those other like company that does the Criterion now, like movie something, I can't remember the name. Whatever they don't have, this place will have. Like, so if you're like, oh, what is that weird John Waters student film that I saw at that one video store that had like three copies, you had to give them $100 deposit to rent it, they'll have it. Like, it'll, there it'll be. Like the Clive Barker student movies, like there they are. Like, so it's, it looks like it's going to be like the kind of legitimate link between YouTube and like Netflix. So
that'd be great, because even though I kind of burnt myself out on them a long time ago, I'm kind of interested in filling in the gaps of some of those weird Italian horror movies that I missed out on.
Yeah, they'll have all that shit.
Yeah, because I remember there was a minute where Netflix had like some of the Lucio Fulci movies, like House by the Cemetery and City of the Living Dead, and then all of a sudden it was all gone, and then nothing. And you can't find it anywhere. The only one you can find is Zombie, which I've seen, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Especially when I found out that the shark attack scene was filmed with a stunt double instead of a stunt shark, so that was pretty rad. I literally just paid a stunt guy to go underwater and punch a shark in the face. I was like, oh my god, that's the greatest thing I ever heard.
Well, our friend first told us about that. He's like, dude, a zombie fights a shark. We're like, they fight a shark? And he goes, who wins? He goes, the zombie. I go, what kind of fight is it? He goes, you know, it's like an underwater fight. I was like, okay, well, what happens? He goes, well, at the end, the zombie bites the shark. I go, isn't that the zombie's only move? Like, wouldn't that be his opening move? He goes, no, he saved it for last. I go, what?
It's like his special move.
Like, how much agency does the zombie have in this movie? He's like, it's not like what you were thinking when you think of zombie. Like, it's a little different. And I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The only thing about it is I thought they were fighting above ground. So I was just like, I don't know. Like, my friend first told me, the way he explained it, I was like, so they're fighting on the shore? Like, above ground. And shark is above. I'm like, okay, I got to see. And then I saw it. I was actually disappointed the first time. I'm like, it's underwater. Who cares? But then when I found out it was a real fight, I'm like, oh my god, that's so much better than I thought.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking metal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we got what, like 15 minutes now to go?
Yeah, let's dig into this Dark Souls.
Alright, yeah, so Dark Souls Tales of Ember, apparently, yes, based on the video game, on Titan Comics, Brian's pick, so Brian can talk. Go. Nailed it.
All right, real quick. Years ago when Demon's Souls came out, I read about how amazingly hard it was, thought it was going to be a great game, got it, and it looks amazing, but it was super hard, way harder than I expected. Hated it, got rid of it. But Dark Souls is the continuation of Demon's Souls. They're on Volume 3 now, and a board game's coming, so it tells me that this thing's pretty popular. I wanted to pick something a little off the beaten path. We're usually picking the new Image Boom stuff, so I decided, oh, try this weird video game franchise tie-in. Turns out it's an anthology story. I don't know if it's a anthology all the way through, because I think it's probably 4 or 6 issues long. It starts out with a knight coming through the portal, and he's looking for the well, which is the well at the beginning of Demon's Souls. I don't know about Dark Souls, because I never played it. It's the well in the game is essentially when you play the game, you go super far in the level, and eventually, if your character dies, there's no save points, so you go all the way back to the beginning. The whole conceit of the game is you play it sort of online, so you leave information about your death and various findings for other people to find, and then they can avoid your mistakes. So that's where the well comes in. And I think that's kind of the whole, the well's telling this knight other stories involved in the Dark Souls universe, because that's how the game plays, which I always thought was a pretty neat idea. The game is punishingly difficult. And I actually have Bloodborne, which is semi-related, made by the same software company. And that game, too, is punishingly difficult. But it is so amazing looking that it's just like, I don't care. I'm going to fight this werewolf until I die if I have to. So the first story involves, it's kind of almost written like a poem. The artwork is, the story is called The Savior. The artwork is incredible. Like I said, the story is written kind of like a poem. It's about this cult, and they're kind of waiting for their savior. They're fasting, waiting for their savior, and the savior comes, and they don't get what they expect. That's pretty much all I'll say about that. Next story is The Infected, and it's a knight and his partner, his friend, whatever. They're in the swamp, and they're fighting zombies, and stuff happens. And the final story is a tale of three witches. And the one witch is telling the other two about a female warrior, and you get kind of a hint at the very end who the female warrior actually is. And then it ends back at the chapel or whatever where the Well of Souls is, and the familiar is telling the knight about the whole stories, etc. I don't know, whatever. I feel like you'll get more out of this if you're really into the game series, but for a comic based on a video game, I actually like this. I thought it was pretty good, and kind of had a bit of a really dark Dungeons & Dragons Pathfinder kind of feel for me. But for my very limited knowledge, I kind of was... The second story I was kind of like, eh. Didn't love the artwork so much, so I think that kind of detracted a bit for me. Story with the witches was better the second time around. Like I said, the first story, I forget what it was called, the one that was written kind of like a poem, I said, The Savior, that one I found to be pretty good. I mean, for as short as it was. It's all just little short, like 3-4 page stories, essentially. But the artwork's all different in all of them. Yeah, so I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
Well, me being pretty much 0% familiar with the video games, none of what was going on made any sense to me, and the only thing I was really able to enjoy was the artwork. I didn't really like this very much at all.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else I can say about it, you know what I mean? The whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, I have no fucking idea what they're talking about, who these people are, what the hell's going on. Yeah, I did not expect 4 3-page stories either. I was expecting maybe one long story, which might have been able to flesh out a lot of the details that people like me would miss by not being fans of the game. But this is absolutely a book made for people who are fans of the game.
I agree with that.
If you've never played the game before and you don't understand what's going on, I don't feel like you're going to really enjoy this at all.
Yeah, before, Brian, before you mentioned, like, any of those things about the game or the well, I had no idea what was happening. I was like, okay, it's like knights, but like scarier, I guess. That's cool. but I had that same feeling that if I knew the game, I'd be like, oh yeah, cool. It's that one character. It's that one thing. Like I had nothing. Like, yeah. I mean, I play Overwatch all the time. I think if someone had made an Overwatch comic with all these like weird iconic characters that had all these crazy personalities, but if you went into it having no idea what any of this was, it would be like kind of a jumble of craziness.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this kind of had that same issue where I was like, I think I need to at least have the tone of this. I mean, I think it is made for somebody. It all seemed like there was an implication of something that was just not, I just didn't have, I didn't have all the tools I needed to come to this. So
yeah.
The art was nice though. I mean, it was drawn really well, especially the story you're mentioning, Brian, the first one. I thought that was really, that art was great. It's like watercolor or something.
Yeah.
That looked really cool. And the kind of the prologue and epilogue thing, the knight kind of climbing through this like dead world thing, that looked really nice too. The other ones are fine as well. Didn't stand out as much, but I mean, it looked nice. Yeah. But I got nothing from it. I actually reread it again to make sure I didn't like skip a page at one point. I was like, did I miss something? Like, was there like something in the story that happened like massive that I just, nope, I didn't. I got it all. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of my fault, but again, like,
that's okay. I mean, it's good to know those things though. I mean, for other people too, that might have never played the game, but like saw it on the shelf, like, oh, that might be kind of cool. I mean, it's good for them to know, like, oh, you need to know the game. You need to know something about the game before you get into it.
I think for me, it was kind of a combination of, again, it seems like every week that it's my turn to pick, there's like two number ones, and one of them is Rocket Raccoon meets, you know, the Power Rangers, and I'm like, I don't want to read that. But I think another thing is, I feel like the preconceived notion, at least for me, when it's a video game tie-in, it's going to be lackluster, or the person's going to be like, oh, I got stuck writing Mortal Kombat. God damn it, I don't want to do this. So I was like, all right, I want to give one of these a fair chance and see if maybe it's at least well-written, whether or not it's faithful to this source material. I have no idea, because I, like I said, I'm last year when I bought Bloodborne, it was basically I had Dark Souls 2 and Bloodborne in my hand. I'm like, all right, which one do I want? And I just settled on Bloodborne because I was like, I shouldn't start at number 2. I should go to the beginning. So that was essentially the, you know, amount of thought I put into that decision equals nothing. But I don't. Like I said, like when I had Demon Souls, I was like, "Man, this game looks amazing. The whole idea is amazing. But why does it have to be so fucking hard?" And I couldn't. I tried it like 6 different times, and I could not get past the same bridge ever. And it was right at the beginning. So I was like, "Oh Jesus Christ, I can't do this. I just don't have the. I don't have the death wish that some of these teenagers they have more than enough time to play a game like that do, but." Yeah, I just wanted to pick something off, because like we're always picking Image this and Aftershock that, and I was like, I don't want to pick a superhero book, so I want to pick something a little weird. Pick this, and I don't hate it. Thought it was okay.
Yeah, no, I think we should, you know, branch out. I mean, I'm always just like, you know, Image comes out with a number one like every week. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, so easy to pick.
Yeah, they must cancel books every week too, because I feel like I don't go to the comic shop and they're like, yeah, we're expanding to the next door because there's too many Image number ones. Like, I don't feel like I see the shelves overflowing with just Image titles, but I swear they have a new number one every week. There's this Extremity comic now that I'm suddenly starting to buy just because the people at the shop recommended it, and it seems pretty cool. But, I mean, it's crazy how often they put out a book. So it is cool. I love when we go outside of that. I mean, sometimes it makes it a little tough because, like, I couldn't find this, in my shop, this title in my shop, I had to go to on Comixology to get it. But yeah, no, I appreciate when we're able to go outside the lines of there, and you know, it also, you know, lets me know there's other stuff out there maybe I should check out. I'm thinking like, should I check out this Dark Souls game? It sounds kind of awesome.
Yes. Brace yourself. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, my daughter here said yes, I should. So.
Yeah, I mean. See,
I'll tell you what, if nothing else, reading this again this morning, I was like, I really got to start playing Bloodborne now, because I've had it for like 9 months and I have only played maybe the first. I got past the first hurdle, which is basically the intro werewolf, and then you run through the graveyard and you go through the portal and now you're in the next thing. But I just remember like really early on in the game when you're like looking around in the old like Lovecraftian mansion and you find the mega axe from hell. And you fight the werewolf in the lab with it. I'm like, oh my god, it's the biggest axe I've ever seen. So, now I really want to play Bloodborne.
Should do it. Right now.
I agree.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll see you later. I'm going to go play Bloodborne.
Be awesome if you actually did. Wuss. So yeah, I guess throw some numbers at it. Since I know mine's probably the worst, I'll just go first. Based almost solely on the art itself, I'll give it like a 5, just because the art really is awesome. But the story itself, I just was not into whatsoever.
All right. I think if I ever get a chance to play Dark Souls and really dig into it, I will come back and revisit these Dark Souls comics as more of an informed reader. But right now, I can safely give this a 7. It's definitely way more competent than other video game books I've ever seen, i.e. Mortal Kombat.
Worst. They need to give up with trying to get a story around that.
It's like trying to get a story out of a soup can. You're like, oh, there it is. No, it's over there!
Have you ever watched the Pac-Man show? My daughter watches it sometimes.
Is it the old 80s one?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to love that thing in the 80s.
Oh my god, it's insane.
I'm sure it's awful, but in the 80s I was like, why is Pac-Man on it on this week?
Yeah, trying to squeeze stories out of video games that are not like story-based video games is pretty difficult. It's like some sort of like Tetris where it's like, oh, the blue L and the red block are in love, but they'll never be together. So, yeah. I'll throw a number real quick since I don't know if it's my turn, but what the hell. I'm going to give it a 6. I probably would have given it a little less, honestly, but the art was really awesome. But that score is based purely on my confusion.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. So, yeah, if you're a fan of the game, you'll probably enjoy the comic. If you've never played the game, you don't know anything about it, I wouldn't bother. But, hey, what do I know? It's all personal preference, so go nuts, do what you want. Wow, this is weird. It's usually where I go, no, we're over or under. But since we're skipping it, I guess best thing ever. Wow. I got my car back, and everything's kosher, and everything's awesome, and you can't even tell I was hit, and all the sensors still work, and, yeah, and they detailed it. So now it's super clean again.
All right.
Yeah, I got nothing. I was about to pay to have it detailed, too, but hey, now I don't have to. Yay me.
All right, mine's doing a bit of forecasting, but I'm very hopeful. It looks like Bill O'Reilly is finally going to be done. So I'm really hoping that's the case, because that guy sucks. So fingers crossed, and he'll be off the television soon.
Yeah.
Not that I have cable, but I just like the idea of him being unemployed.
You just might have spoke too soon. He won't be unemployed, dude. He'll be picked up pretty quickly.
He's 70. Nobody cares about that guy's opinion anymore.
He'll start his own network if he goes anywhere in the first place. But hey, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it'd be nice to see it happen, but
he'll just write a bunch of children's books on how he got screwed.
At that point, I feel like that's the same as everyone else going, oh, it's time to impeach Trump. Like, that's not going to happen. Quit it.
Yeah, well, I will cross my fingers, but I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, the advertising, the advertisers leaving his show apparently is way worse than people thought it was going to be. Nice. He lost like BMW and all this, like these big name brands. And that's, I mean, when you hit him where the money is, that's really when things happen. So
true.
So we'll see. My best thing ever. I don't know. I don't know if I told. I played a show last night by just a solo show at this coffee house in Georgetown here in Seattle, and it was great. But I gotta tell you, like, my best thing ever is I spent a lot of money, but I got like a grown-up pedal board.
Nice.
Like a Voodoo Labs pedal board, and it's their like giant version. It's it's like, I think, a little over 2 feet long.
Jesus.
Yeah, but now that everything's like, now that every pedal has its own like isolated power, I don't have daisy chain anymore. Everything like sits nice on the board. It doesn't flop around when I'm moving it around, or I don't have to like readjust stuff. Like, my knobs all stay where they're at. I mean, I plug this thing in, there's zero hum. It's just like, oh, it's perfect. It's crazy. I feel like a grown up for the first time, and I love it. The board itself is awesome. The bag it comes in is goofy as hell. Like, I feel super dorky walking around with it. It's got, you know, the handles you would carry like a suitcase. And, you know, it's a big soft bag, if you imagine, like a big soft bag with some structure to it. It's got a big, like, shoulder strap, which is how I was carrying it last night. But it also has backpack straps.
Nice.
Which is, like, the fucking doofiest thing I can imagine. But I'm going to be traveling to California to play guitar for Sutek Hexen for a tour in October. And I know, like, traveling through the airport with my shoulder bag and my guitar, I'm going to be wearing this thing on my back like a backpack.
I wouldn't doubt it, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to come up with something funny to screen or stencil on the back of it. Like, first day of school or something, I don't know, but... Yeah, this pedal board, it cost me like $400.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's not cheap. I don't know if you guys have ever become victims of this, but Sweetwater.com, you know Sweetwater?
I am familiar.
Yeah, they have credit, and I have pretty bad credit, but I'm like, well, we'll see what happens, and I signed up, and they're like, you're approved. I was like, no, why did you approve me, you monsters? But because of that, I bought that and the Mel 9 pedal.
Nice.
But I've already started paying it off. I'm almost done paying it off already, so.
More adulting.
I'm sorry?
More adulting.
Yes, more adulting.
And it'll help improve your credit.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, as long as I pay it off.
Well, so. I guess that's it. This feels
yeah.
This feels unfinished.
It's all right. going into a holiday.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I guess there you have it. That was Dark Souls and us rambling. And next week will be Easter. And, you know, seeing as though we do our recordings on the Sundays, it's kind of going to be impossible for us to do it. So, enjoy your Easter. Have a good 2 weeks. And we will be back with a couple of number ones for you. Stay, keep your eyes open for the board game podcast, which comes out on Thursdays. That'll still be coming out. So until then, you can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. You can find Brian up here at Rock Fury. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. Chris wasn't with us today, but if you give a shit, you can find him at SkateXEdge. So that is the show for this week, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.